Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Chin Lounge. I'm John Breeden, your chief lounge lizard, and your host for this episode of the show. The year is halfway over, amazingly enough, so let's talk about some of the games that have come out that have been we've enjoyed so far, so fast. Joining me all the way from England is Shella. Shella, welcome to the lounge today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, excellent. So always good to hear you here on the lounge, because I know, and it's great that you and I are the guests today, because you and I generally have pretty different tastes when it comes to games. So hopefully we'll get some different perspectives on things. So far this year, I will crouch the discussion with just saying that so far I've been a little underwhelmed with the amount of great games that have come out this year. It seems like in previous years, I mean, some years, you know, we had like all this stuff that like hit us all at once, you know, and this year, not a lot. There's been a few cool stuff, but I mean, I'm also sort of disappointed because I bought a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I go to the game store and I'm like, okay, what's out for PlayStation 4? And I'm like, okay, well, here's some games that are also out for the PlayStation 3. And I ended up buying like Assassin's Creed Black Flag because even though it's available on the PS3, which I believe you reviewed it on either that or the Xbox 360.
Yeah, PS3.
Oh, you did PS3. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if there's any real differences or anything, but it's fun. But I kind of would like to have, you know, to
something
get some,
new.
You know. Yeah, well, you know, some next-gen only, you know, content that's not just next-gen only because they made it that way, but because it has to be next-gen because there's no way a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox 360 could run it. And there just hasn't been that much.
It's true. And, I mean, even the release schedule, I mean, because for the past couple of years, we've been going, oh, wow, we've got, like, spring and summer releases. We're like, oh, this is a new thing and we like it. And then all of a sudden, they've disappeared. I mean, the release schedule is pretty dead.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember the years that Red Dead Redemption came out and stuff like that. I remember that year, and there was, like, everything came out at the same time, and it was over the summer
type of thing.
And it was like, yeah, and we were like, oh, this is cool. Oh, cool. And then when I get tired of this game, 2 months from now, you know, there's going to be another good game. And this year it hasn't really done that. And I don't know. I suspect I kind of feared that this would happen when they came out with the new consoles. I kind of think they rushed the release of the new consoles. I mean, with Microsoft and Sony, it's kind of like two guys in a dark room aiming guns at each other, you know? And it's like one of them's going to move and the other one's going to shoot. And so they were both afraid that, you know, the other guy would go first. So I think they kind of pushed this new generation forward. But anyway, there have been a few gems. I know you reviewed Watch Dogs, and Watch Dogs has been number one on the charts in England anyway for like the last 5 months, I think. So that people generally like that. But you didn't give it a bad review, but you were kind of somewhat disappointed with Watch Dogs.
Yeah, I was lukewarm, shall we say, about Watch Dogs. I can see why people would enjoy it, perhaps, but I just thought it was going to be a deeper game than it is. I thought, you know, this is like post-Snowden, you know, the whole WikiLeaks thing. And I mean, when that trailer came out, it was, you know, complete zeitgeist thing. You know, everyone was just getting their smartphones. And it could have been so much more interesting in terms of the themes it dealt with, but it didn't actually deal with any themes at all. It was just like, yeah, let's give a guy a phone.
Yeah, I mean, Todd Hargosh was the same way. He ended up getting the game, and he was disappointed for different reasons. He was disappointed because the hacking interface was pretty generic. I think he misses the old the hacking interfaces from some other games that were a little more in depth. I mean, I guess he thought it was, and then some of the stuff you can just hack. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, if you want to turn a bridge up, you can just push the button and it does it, or change traffic lights and stuff like that. There's no, and then the hacking itself is kind of just, you know, it's almost like a little puzzle, I guess. So I don't know. That game for me, it started to get annoying because at first I thought it was really cool to invade other people's games and hack them and stuff and to have people hack me. But then you start to see behind the curtain a little bit and it's kind of a flawed interface. For example, I don't know if you noticed this because I know you traded the game in. I know you didn't play it forever, but like no NPCs ever ride motorcycles in the game at all. Right. There's nobody ever rides a motorcycle. So if you see someone riding a motorcycle, they're another player invading your game. 100%. So, you know, I'm in like a town and I see some guy pull up on a motorcycle and I'm like, you know, sorry, buddy, but I know 100% you're not an NPC, so I just shotgun him down. And I'm sure they're wondering, how the hell did he die? No, I didn't even start the racket. It's because you're on a freaking motorcycle, dummy. and the people in this city, they have motorcycles parked on the side of the road, but nobody ever rides them. But anyway, I've been turning my router off when I play the game now because I just get tired of people. Because I'm looking for that deep story, which may or may not exist. And so as I'm trying to pursue the story, I get annoyed that, you know, somebody's hacking you and you've got to go find them and shoot them and all. And the game doesn't let you turn that feature off. You can turn that feature off, but you lose all your credit. And I've got like an extra shotgun and a certain vehicle and stuff that I've unlocked for doing all these hacks. So if I turn that feature off because I don't feel like being, as you would say, arsed by having people enjoy, you know, invade my game, I lose all those points. So instead, I just flip my router off, and then the game goes, oh, no, I can't connect to the UBI servers. I'm like, yeah, I know. We're fine. and we just play the game. And the only thing that I don't get is I can't do the little check-ins. Like, you can become the mayor. Like, there are people playing Foursquare on the game. But I don't think I could ever play Foursquare successfully anyway because some of those places have, like, people have checked in like 250 times the mayor in the last 7 days. So they must just log in every hour and check in so that they can be the mayor of that little square of town. So I don't know. I guess if you find that fun, but I don't. Anyway, another UBI title, to their credit, they don't just do those big blockbuster games. They do other stuff. Was one that you wrote about that I think we should definitely talk about because that was kind of a surprise, and that was Valiant Hearts: The Great War.
It was one of those. I think it was on my most anticipated of the year because it was for me. It just looked gorgeous and quite sensitive, and it looked like it was going to be a little heartbreaker, and in some ways it was. The characters were lovely and it just looked so beautiful, like every little detail, you know, even in the trenches, little bits and bobs that have, you know, added to the atmosphere, just incidental things that might be on a table or something like that. And and the lovely French feel to it as well, whether it was the music or just, you know, some of the vistas of the landscapes were stunning, and it was quite cinematic as well, the animation at times.
And it was about World War One. I mean, we have the Great War, which is an ad, which is on our page for a game that Neil reviewed that's set on World War One. And then this was set in World War One. So I don't know. Maybe World War One is finally getting its due in gaming.
Well, it's the centenary year of the year that it broke out. So they've obviously timed it to coincide with that. So
the centenary year. So for those of us who went to public school, that's 100 years, right?
Yes. So 1914 was the breakout of the First World War. I don't know what's happening in the States about World War One, but there's a massive commemoration of that war in Europe and the UK. Remember, even Glastonbury Festival had, you know, it was quite a thematic thing throughout the festival.
Oh, that's really awesome. Well, remember the U.S. World War One? We didn't get into it until later on. So,
yeah, I mean, that's one of the great things about the game is I didn't even know that the U.S. were involved in it at all. So that was something that I learned.
I don't think we showed up until like 1917 or something. Basically, everybody fought each other and like killed off an entire generation of people, but we were like fine because we were off, you know, partying and doing the Charleston and stuff like that. And but we had all of our young men still alive. So then we came in at the end and we're like, you know, we just kind of overran the Germans because we had fresh troops and nobody else did. So once again, we came in and saved your ass. So I guess the centenary for us might be a few years from now when we actually got involved in the war. But that's cool. I had a question about Valiant Hearts, though. In the trailers and stuff, because it's a game I definitely want to get, it said, you know, some characters make it and some characters don't. I was just curious, was that predetermined or were you able to control who lived and who died to some extent?
No, it was scripted. Yeah.
Okay, it was scripted.
I mean, that is the only downside of the game is, you know, the gameplay doesn't really match up to the great job that they did with absolutely everything else.
Right.
And it's a lovely story, you know, nice little characters and things, but the gameplay is really quite repetitive and I found myself just getting annoyed with it. And it was only the fact that I knew that it was going to be short you know, it wasn't very difficult. I mean, half the time that was what was really irritating, that what I was trying to do wasn't particularly difficult. I knew exactly what I needed to do. But, it was just you got sent back to the beginning of things. If you had to, you know, jump through so many hoops all in a row. And, yeah, so it got a bit irritating. But I could forgive it. You know, I definitely wouldn't have given it the perfect score that Marie gave it. But, you can forgive it a lot. I think she got swept away with the sort of loveliness of it, which, you know.
I'm guessing that the dog probably lived through the whole game. if the dog had died,
she would probably have smacked it down.
She would have slashed that game to nothing. How dare you make the cute little dog die?
She did have a dog obsession.
So that's my guess. Yeah. Not trying to do a spoiler, but based on her history, I'm thinking the dog probably makes it.
The dog's okay.
Actually another game that I wanted to talk about was the Walking Dead series, which was Telltale's game. Kind of the same type of thing where it's sort of focused on story and so forth. But in that game, obviously, the main character in this one is Clementine, the little girl from the first series. And she doesn't die, at least through episode 4. I mean, she may die at the end of 5, don't know, because that's what they did in the first game. But pretty much, you're pretty sure your main character's safe, because if your main character dies, you have to start over, or start over from the last checkpoint, or something like that. But the fate of the other characters does come into play fairly often. In fact, they often give you a choice where, do you want to save this guy or this girl? You know, and you have to pick. I kind of like that aspect of being able to change the world. And it sounds like Valiant Hearts didn't have that, but then Valiant Hearts was a single episode game.
I mean, it would have been nice if you did have some control over who, or you did feel that you could have made a difference to who lived and died. But yeah. I guess that's not the game they wanted to make.
Yeah. Well, they have I guess if they make a sequel, it'll have to be World War II.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
It does, you know, not to give spoilers, but, you know, there was a sort of epilogue that did almost suggest a sequel. Because obviously there is a sequel to that war, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, depending on how much you study those wars, I mean, technically World War One didn't really end because of the how we screwed up with the treaties and everything at the end of it. So I mean, So interesting. Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that one. Definitely. Let's see. You know, it's interesting. We're talking about a lot of these games, like the, well, I guess The Walking Dead isn't technically an indie title, but you know, it's not a AAA title either. And then Valiant Hearts was made by, or well, published by Ubisoft. Mm. So, but more of an indie title,
yeah,
sort of.
Yeah. And Child of Light pricing as well.
And Child of Light. I was gonna bring up Child of Light. Child of Light was another one. Ubisoft is an interesting company. Yeah. I mean, they're really almost like EA was like 5 years ago, where it's like they kind of publish everything. They publish like these indie titles, and then they publish, although some of their indie titles are like in-house made, and then they publish AAA titles like Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs and everything. So I don't know, it's kind of weird.
What indie titles did EA ever publish?
Well, you're right about the EA. You're right. I just meant that they were becoming
In terms of sort of
ubiquitous.
Yeah. 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 But very, very different in terms of.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. I mean, EA's still around. I mean, they have some amazing stuff coming out. I'm looking forward to the new Dragon Age. Of course, I guess you could say that's BioWare more than EA, but let's see. So, speaking, I was just setting up the fact that we're talking about indie titles because I wanted to talk about one that I just found the other evening on Steam called FTL, stands for Faster Than Light. And I have been playing that game, like I stayed up until like 6 a.m. playing it. It's you have this little spaceship, and it's like a roguelike game where the whole universe is like randomly developed each time, and you fly, and you have little space battles and stuff, and it also kind of has an Oregon Trail kind of feel, where you have moral dilemmas, where it's like you're fighting a bunch of slavers, and the slavers are like, at the end, they're like, when you're almost about to defeat them, they're like, okay, if you let us go, we'll give you one of these slaves, and we'll free them, and they can join your crew. Or you can kill us, and it will kill them too. You know, so you're like, oh, I don't want to let these scumbags get away, but and at least I can save one person. You know, plus I need a crew member, so that's kind of cool, I guess. I've been playing it. It's a neat game. It just kind of shows what indie titles can do. Another one that I played that I really liked was The Banner Saga, which I think you might like that one, Shella. That is very Oregon Trail-ish, but just beautiful graphics. Nice. It has a real feel for the style and so forth. It's just like it's Nordic kind of feeling, and it's just beautiful. But there is some combat in it. There is some turn-based combat where you have to fight these, like, well, they sort of look like robots, but they're supposed to be like this metal race of people. But you're basically these Vikings whose society has been destroyed, and you're basically moving through the destruction, trying to get somewhere, trying to do something. It's a very depressing game because everything you do sort of ends up with people dying and things like that. And but it's a good game. It has a great feel to it. It's on PC right now, PC and Mac. I heard a rumor that it was going to move over to consoles at some point. So if that happens, I would definitely recommend it for the console players as well.
Excellent.
Yeah, good stuff. What about you? Is there anything else you wanted to throw up that you've been that you've been gaming with?
Not recently. The last thing was Child of Light. I have in my to play pile, I've got the last Tomb Raider game, which came out last year. I suppose that's the one good thing about a slow summer, is you can catch up with some of the things that you didn't get a chance to play the year before.
And hopefully snag them for a bit of a discount,
too. So, I think I traded in Watch Dogs and got Tomb Raider.
That's funny. Yeah, I think you'll like the Tomb Raider. That got that generally yeah, was very well received.
I'm set to meet Rihanna Pratchett later this year, so I thought I'd better brush up on some of her games.
Yeah, she was brought in to do the story. Rihanna Pratchett was brought in to do the story for Tomb Raider, but wasn't she brought in like after some silly controversy
or
something?
So, no. Okay. No. I mean, she's a well-respected writer, so I'm sure she was on before all that hoo-ha. I think they just had her make a statement after all the hoo-ha to, because look, we've got a woman writing it. Go on, push Rihanna onto the stage.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's cool. Well, maybe when you meet her, you can ask her about it.
It's like, okay, you can ask her. Have this debate in the office in Gin HQ.
Yeah, what were you brought in because of the ridiculousness to fix the problem, or were you there the whole time? So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what she says. It'd be cool to meet her. So, and then the game that I have been playing that I am really excited about, I played the alpha and I'm playing the beta this week, is Destiny. I am so enthralled by that game, and I'm not generally that great at console based shooters. I've tried a few of them and I'm just better at the PC. So I wasn't real enthralled to play it, but I mean the world is just absolutely gorgeous, and I admit I like having Peter Dinklage as the voice of my companion, because I love him in Game of Thrones, so it's kind of cool. But yeah, just a beautiful world, a great soundtrack. They actually got Paul McCartney to write some of the songs Destiny. Yeah, it's a very thrilling experience, and you know it's fun because it's a multiplayer world, but they've really made it seamless. Like you don't have to group up with people. You can group up with your friends if you want, but if you go on a mission and the mission requires three people, it automatically pairs you with two other folks that are also looking for the mission, and you drop in and you don't really chat with them or anything, but you know you go on the mission and it's been a good experience. I had a few idiots that have tried to shoot me or hit me or whatever, but there's no player versus player damage, so it doesn't really matter. So you can just kind of ignore them, and they get tired of being stupid, I guess, usually. But a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. The story-based missions are amazing, and eventually one of the ones was fixing up my little drop ship so that I could go to other planets and other moons and stuff. Oh, cool. So I'm pretty sure that's how they're going to expand the game, is, you know, adding, oh, now you can go to Mars. Now you can go to Saturn and fight on Saturn or whatever. So I'm anxious to see how that goes. But that's definitely going to be a game that is on my purchase list. So and that's another one that's on multiple consoles. In fact, I just saw a press release today that said that PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 and Xbox 360 and Xbox One players can play together in the same game world.
Wow,
so if you have,
that's cool.
Yeah, so if you have friends that have multiple consoles or haven't quite upgraded to the new one, or you haven't quite upgraded to the new one, it's okay. You can still play with your friends.
That's really nice.
Yeah, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. So, all right, well, Shella, thanks for joining me today. I think we covered a lot of the stuff that's new. It's interesting we talked about a lot of the smaller titles and stuff, but that's what you do when you're having a drought of AAA stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's been, you know, there's the Call of Duty and stuff that people are playing a lot now, and a lot of new maps and stuff like that coming out for it. But for the most part, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of stuff that's come out that's new. So I am looking forward to Destiny, although I feel like I've played the first five levels of Destiny twice now through the alpha and then through the beta.
Okay.
So I'm going to I'm gonna be asleep at the wheel at first when we go through it. But I am looking forward to seeing what happens beyond the beta and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, the only trouble with the indie titles is sometimes there's one called Tangiers, which I'm waiting for, which is due out next month, but I'm not sure if it's going to come. because, you know, a lot of them are Kickstarter things and, you know, they have these dates that then get pushed and then there aren't any updates on the blog for a while.
What is Tangiers? Is it like a puzzle type game or a strategy game or?
I think it's like a sort of adventure game, but it's quite kind of noirish and surreal. They reference Kafka, David Lynch. You know, it's like it's ticking my boxes basically.
Well, I hope that one doesn't disappoint you. That sounds pretty cool.
That was on my list of ones I was looking forward to this year, and that's coming up in the next month, hopefully. Although it's gone a bit quiet.
Did you kick in some Kickstarter money for them?
No, they'd already got their Kickstarter funds by the time I found out about it. So Yeah, so hopefully it just means they're busy trying to finish it.
Well, you can give them a few dollars when you buy the game.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. Awesome. All right, well, to all of our listeners out there, let us know what you guys think. Tell us what you're playing. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is ginlounge@gameindustry.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Google Plus. It's now just G Plus in my mind. They finally got that service pretty well refined. Actually, I'm finding I'm using Google Plus more than I'm using Facebook these days. Yeah. So that's cool. We're also on Pinterest, and a few other places. Just basically come to gameindustry.com and you can find all our other hidden spots from there. We'll be happy to direct you. Shella, thanks for joining me today. And I'll let you get back to, scouting out the indie landscape. And we'll see you all here next time right here at GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. Until then, take care, everybody, and I hope you find the games that you're looking for.